Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to another episode of Sheologians. We're here this week to put the her in therapist.
I like it. Therapist.
I'm here with my co-host, Joy. And Joy, I want you to know that if you had a unique disease that made you age in reverse, I would take care of you when you were a baby.
Oh. That's a really sweet thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was Benjamin Buttoning.
I would take care of you.
I don't know if I want to make you do that. I might just suggest that you.
I know. I mean, I already take care of a baby.
Doesn't Clementine think that that's how age works?
Yes.
She thinks that she is
older.
Wise.
Yes.
Because she's little.
Yes. Like the older you get, the dumber you get. And I mean, isn't that
sometimes
how most, like, young people think of adults usually?
Right.
Like they know
everything,
more.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is how she thinks.
Oh, well, I mean, you're right. I am Joy Tembe, and I'm here with my beautiful host, co-host, Summer, who I didn't finish writing a compliment for, but Summer, who I hope to one day, I hope in like 70 years, I hope to sit on a porch with you in some rocking chairs and record Sheologians.
Yes. Longest running podcast ever is what we're going for.
Seriously.
Are we going to make it?
Well, apparently some crazy stuff is happening that will allow us to live for a long time, like head transplants and things like
right.
that. So
it's an option is what you're saying?
Well, the thing is, though, is will I be a baby sitting in the rocking chair in this scenario? If I'm going backwards.
Right, you will. You'll be a baby, but you'll be super entertaining.
Right.
Clementine's
well, yeah.
entertaining.
I mean, that's like amazing PR right there.
Right.
These two women who did a podcast together and then one day one of them started aging in reverse. And now one of the hosts is a baby and the other one is her friend
super
who
old.
Takes care of her.
I would.
That's it right there.
I know.
That's why we haven't hit our Patreon goal yet, because one of us isn't a baby.
I would totally listen to that show. I would, like, go down in history. F. Scott Fitzgerald would write a book. Anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So, goals.
So, right. That's one of our goals. And if we do it, then everyone needs to sign up on Patreon, because we're a
right.
medical marvel.
Seriously.
You, specifically.
Right.
Anyway, we're here this week. We decided to do kind of a weird episode this week for us. We don't have a singular topic, but what we want to do is take the time to answer four questions. Is it four?
Yeah.
Well, we added a fifth.
We did.
But we're answering technically five questions that we get asked every week.
Right. I mean, one of the reasons why we started Sheologians is because you were getting a whole bunch of questions and it seemed easier to just respond
in a podcast
in a more general way
yes.
to more people at one time
yes.
than individually responding
correct
to everything. So, but since we started Sheologians, now we get questions about the show.
Yes.
And there are some questions that we get asked frequently enough that we're
yes.
just going to address them here for efficiency's
yes.
sake.
And just so that the next time I get this email or this message, I can say, here, we did an episode and
right.
we answered this question.
Right.
Instead of responding to each of these questions weekly on an individual basis. I hope anyone doesn't feel like that's rude or I'm not taking the time out for you. But these are common enough questions that we're just going to answer them
right.
for you.
We are taking time out for you.
Yeah.
We're doing a show on it.
That's right. A whole episode.
Right. In your honor.
Yeah.
That's much better than an email or.
That's right.
Facebook message response.
That's right.
Consider yourself special.
Yes. So the first question that we seriously get on a weekly basis is, It's either do we head cover or do we believe in head coverings or how do we feel about head coverings?
Right.
Or are we making fun of head coverings on our page because we say theology for women, no doilies allowed?
Right.
So the answer to the very last part of the question is no, we're not making fun of anyone that head covers.
No.
I would never call a head covering a doily.
No.
Ever.
That's definitely not what we meant by doilies.
Yeah.
We meant like the lacy things that you put under Precious Moment.
Yes.
Figurines.
Right. Not allowed. And actually we have, I mean, what would you say? Probably 40% of the women at our church cover.
Quite a few.
I would say.
I don't personally head cover.
Neither of us do.
But that being said, we have a lot of friends that do.
Yeah.
And I don't feel negatively about.
No.
About head covering. I don't. No. All the women that I know that mm-hmm. head cover have a reason for doing so.
Yes.
They, it's their own personal conviction
mm-hmm.
and they have researched it and come to the conclusion that it is what they want to do.
Right.
So while I don't do it, I don't have negative feelings towards mm-mm. people that do head cover.
No.
And I like every person that I know that head covers, I actually really like.
Right.
So
I'm for the first time in my life really studying this issue right now. I haven't told a lot of people about it because when I do, people get freaked out. They're like, oh, well, what's going on?
Right.
I'm just like, well, I feel like I'm at this point in my life where there's all these second tier, third tier issues that are related to the gospel that I have a vague kind of understanding on that I feel like I could probably talk about, but I feel like it's just time for me to study them more in depth.
Yes.
And for me, the head covering issue is one. I've been in head covering discussions before and felt like I could defend the reasons why I don't well enough, but I don't think, so one thing for me is I will feel that I have a good handle on an issue if I can argue for the opposing side.
Right.
And I actually couldn't argue for head covering at this point, being the opposite side of what I'm used to and what I hold to. And so I'm now taking the time to try to understand that side of the argument.
Right.
And where I'm at right now, like I've read all of headcoveringmovement.org or whatever that website is.
Right.
There's a book that someone in our church recommended to me mm-hmm. to read, and I'm about halfway through that. And the thing about head covering is that when I read topics on either side or people who hold differing views, everything I read on both sides is convincing.
Right.
I feel like when I read the pro side that's been really well thought out and well presented, it's convincing. And then when I read the opposing side, that is also convincing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because R.C. Sproul says he doesn't know, but he kind of, like, the women in his family cover because, well, we're not really sure, but for sure, if you are supposed to head cover and you don't, then you're in sin. But if you're not supposed to head cover and you do, you're not sinning.
Right.
So that's kind of the... It's a bit of a pragmatic approach to it that I just don't feel convicted strongly enough to follow that.
Yeah.
I definitely think there are times where it's okay to say, we don't really know, so let's use caution. But on this topic, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Right.
So if I started to cover, I would want to be able to say, here's why, here's my conviction, here's the biblical hermeneutic that I used to arrive at this conclusion.
Right.
Right now, I don't have that.
Right.
So I do not currently cover. But all that to say, we would never write a tagline on our website making fun of people who head cover.
Absolutely not. So, yeah, our approach, we're not against them. We also don't head cover. And the people that I know don't take, at least as far as I know, aren't taking the practical approach, which is wear it just in case. Everyone I know is totally open and willing to talk to you about why they head cover for reasons of personal conviction.
Right.
And all that.
And I know people in the last couple of years, because I think this conversation is becoming more mainstream in Reformed churches now.
Right.
I know people over the last couple of years who never covered who now do head cover. And I also know people who have gone the opposite way.
Right.
That they were head covering and now they don't. And so that just adds to my confusion because it's people, not confusion, but just really lack of conviction. Because people that I know and trust are so on opposite sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up head covering. I've gone to Reformed Baptist churches where they have covered. I've gone to Presbyterian churches where they have covered. And every week at our church, we see it.
Right.
So
I think that we would say, don't head cover if you don't know why you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could say that.
I would feel comfortable.
And we could also say that, we did a whole episode about this, but you don't have to feel offended by any potential insinuation that someone's making fun of head coverings.
Yeah, don't go there.
Right. Those are really the only two definitive statements I feel like I can make about it.
Right.
The other one being I don't currently head cover. Right.
Right.
So we don't have a problem with it.
Nope. And if you do it, great. I hope that you know why. And if you don't do it, I also hope that you know why.
Right.
And we are not encouraging anyone to go against their church or their husband or their father.
Right.
So let me put a disclaimer here real quick. not going there.
Yeah.
Okay. So now y'all know about that one. The other question that I get almost on a weekly basis that just cracks me up. I mean, I love you guys, but seriously, what denomination are you? No offense, but a little quick Google search would tell you that we go to Apologia Church in Tempe, Arizona. And we are a Reformed Baptist church that holds to the 1689.
Yep.
Also, we did an episode on it.
Yes.
I think it was our fourth episode or something about confessionalism. Right. So we're Reformed Baptists. Our church, again, is kind of strange because we have quite a few Presbyterians.
Yeah, we do have Presbyterians in our church.
We're produced by a Presbyterian.
Right.
But our church goes through the 1689 on a weekly basis. What question are we on right now? What is sin?
Yep.
Yes.
Number 18.
Right. That's normally when I'm wrangling someone. That's all of church service. Anyway, what is sin? So we go through that. That's what we hold to. We like Presbyterians.
Right.
We are Reformed. I don't really know if there's anything people want to know beyond that, but that's the denomination that we are.
Yep. Easy.
Okay.
Next.
These next two, you guys. Okay. So last fall, I wrote a blog, and I think I called it This Is Not the Modesty Blog That You're Looking For.
Right.
So it's funny. When we first started a podcast, people would ask us, so like, what are you going to talk about? Like, modesty?
Right.
And Joy and I were like, we are never going to talk about modesty.
Right. Because it's not, I mean.
Like, of course, two women have a podcast, so you have to talk about clothes.
Right.
We're not opposed to the conversation, but I think I mentioned in the blog that I wrote, if you want to go back and find it on the website, that much has been said about modesty. There are books on it you can read.
Right.
There's a million and a half blogs you can read. And if you want to go fight someone about whether or not yoga pants are pants, I can recommend at least 125 Reformed Facebook groups you could go pick a fight in and do that.
Yeah. When it comes to modesty, I think, so it's funny that there are people that we know that would consider us sort of confrontational and exclamatory all this stuff. But it's funny because a lot of our episodes are just really about moderation and personal conviction. So yeah. There's a lot of topics that we discuss and our ultimately what we have to say about them is that you're using the scriptures and your conviction judgment to make decisions for yourself. So it's kind of funny that we get this.
Yeah.
I mean, some things we're willing to pick a fight over, but really it's not every time. So that would be our response to modesty. Obviously, it's more complicated in depth.
Right.
But the thing is I don't know that... I don't know that I'm interested in spoon feeding people information on how to dress modestly. It's an issue of the heart.
Right.
And if you don't know what that looks like,
then you should be in fellowship with other believers right. that can come alongside you and help you with that.
Right. I definitely don't mean that, like, if you don't know what that looks like, well, sorry, you're right. out of luck. I don't, that's not what I mean, because plenty of people, I mean, people are in all sorts of different places in their walk, and it mm-hmm. may have not been something that you thought of much. You may have just stumbled across your first conviction on how you dress or whatever, but it's just such a, it's such a, I don't know, like, it's a controversial subject that I don't think needs to be controversial. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's as controversial as it is case by case.
Absolutely.
Because I'm definitely not, like, I'm not giving you the green light to wear your cocktail dress that shows your butt.
Right.
I'm not, that's right. not what I mean.
We should be modest, and that, we know that from scripture.
Right.
We have no qualms with that. My concern with seeing this issue brought up so many times is that, number one, you really can't, unless you want to police a person's every outfit that they wear.
Right.
You can't, I mean, what are you supposed to do if someone says to you, am I dressing modestly, and you don't know them? What's the only way you could judge whether or not they are? Well, they'd have to, like, parade out their entire wardrobe right. in front of you.
And then they'd have to tell you why they put it on.
Right.
Honestly, 100% honestly, like, I put this on because it makes men look at me. You right. know, like,
you can't answer that question. Right. The only way you can really answer that question is if this is someone that you have a relationship with, that you right. see on a regular basis. And so often these conversations, because they're personal, they get so heated. Right. You know, for instance, we had someone message us this week, and they sent us a link to a dress, and they were like, is this dress immodest? Because someone at church came up to my wife and said that it's immodest. And what do you think? And I'm looking at this perfectly modest dress
right.
thinking, I don't see anything immodest about this dress. But also, if something like this is happening in your church, we can't help you. This is unfortunately an issue that you're going to have to deal with person to person. And I understand it's right. really uncomfortable
right.
because now you want to defend your wife's honor. You want to defend right. the fact that somebody is looking at her and saying, ooh, look at how right. she's dressing.
Well, and especially if you feel like she's dressing modestly, but there's some guy that's looking at her, it's like, right. well, whose heart is right. the problem in this situation?
right.
It's just not even something that we can, you know, of course, it's an interesting topic in its mm-hmm. own right, and plenty mm-hmm. of people discuss it, mm-hmm. but we would like to keep the issue of modesty where it belongs, which is very individualized.
Yeah, and in your church, too.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
that's, I would never want to step into a situation and be an arbiter in an issue that's happening in your church.
Right.
Like, that is not our place.
Right.
And, you know, I'm flattered that people would want our opinion on it, but my opinion doesn't matter at the end of the day. Ultimately,
right.
it's going to be you and your wife's heart.
Right.
And I saw the dress, and I think that it's a really cute dress.
Right.
It's perfectly appropriate.
Right.
But as we're finding out, not everyone will agree. My big thing in the modesty, whole debacle that happens all the time, and I'm probably gonna upset some people saying this,
right, things I've already said
right
now, I'm like, people are gonna take it out of context, they're gonna read into it something that I didn't mean, but whatever. Here
I
we
feel
go.
Very strongly about this, and if it offends you, sorry, not sorry. I would say, if you are the kind of person that has time every week to be upset about what other people are wearing,
right,
that you are not the person that is most guilty of being busy serving other people in your church.
Right.
I'm not saying that anybody that's ever had an opinion on someone else's article of clothing doesn't serve in their church. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you are consumed, if you are constantly concerned with how people are dressing, there is no way that you are constantly concerned with their heart, with how much you're expending your life serving other people. And I would say, honestly, the best way, if you see someone in your church whose dress you find immodest, is to get into a discipleship relationship with that person
right.
of the same gender.
Right.
Let me just be clear
right.
about this.
Well, and to also consider why you care about their modesty.
Right.
Like that's what Summer's talking about here is we can look, you know, we can look around our sanctuaries, I'm sure, and see things that we dislike or things we'd like to chat about later with our other friend. And, you know, but what is the concern for their heart? If you
right.
have this huge concern for modesty in your church, but really it's just because you don't like that, or you would never wear it, or if you wore it, that means you were looking for attention.
Right.
That may not be, you're basically the, well, and this is a reason why we don't want to tackle this issue, even though we're tackling it right now. you can't keep people accountable in their dress and personal appearance without, it, the point of it isn't just for everyone to be buttoned up. It's about modesty is a heart issue. So if you care for someone's modesty, you're supposed to be caring for their heart.
Right.
And we just, it's too case by case.
Yeah.
It for is. Us to really address right. it on a podcast.
Right.
And it's too, it's so case by case that it's not even appropriate for you to stand in your sanctuary on Sunday and look at everyone and judge everyone's.
Right.
Without being in their life, you
right.
know, like that,
right.
that we're saying that it's, you really have to be in each other's lives and the concern, the burden needs to be for that person.
Right.
There, if there's even an inkling of mm-hmm. you being like, I caught someone being immodest, then
right.
maybe not the best
right.
approach.
And I mean, I've been in scenarios where I've seen a friend dress a certain way that I would not dress because if I dressed that way, it would be immodest.
Right.
And then I've had the kind of relationship with them where later down the road, they've just come out and said to me, like, hey, do you think I should wear this to church?
Right.
And I've been like, you know what? I don't think you should wear that anywhere.
Right.
And then because we had a relationship, they were like, oh, why? And then I was like, you know what? Like, it's really tight and this is happening here.
Yeah.
And they and honestly, this person had never seen that.
Right.
Like, they had never noticed that. They hadn't been raised in the church. They hadn't been raised yeah. to think about these things. And now, all of a sudden, they have a different perspective. And there was, like, serious, like, sadness in her
right.
when I pointed this stuff out because she had no desire to dress immodestly.
Right.
It just hadn't honestly been something that she didn't have an older woman in her life to say these things to her, say, like, hey, this is how we dress or whatever. And so kind of seeing her brokenness and like sadness and embarrassment that she had never thought of that before, really made me sad. And
right.
then it made me take a step back because I'm seeing in her that this was not her intention. And now that she's growing and becoming more sanctified, she was able to humbly like hear that and change.
Right.
And I don't know if I didn't have that relationship with her first, if I had been able, like, would she have wanted my opinion?
Right.
Would she have heard what I said the way that she did and then like been repentant for it and like changed how
right.
she dressed. Like I changed the course of how she dressed and it wasn't because the first time I met her, I was like, dang, that is short.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It wasn't about if it offended you.
Right. Right. And so then now for me, that's taught me a few things in terms of if I do see someone and it's like that dress is just not appropriate.
Right.
My first thought isn't like, how dare you?
Right.
Or like, you did this on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's not to say, I know in these conversations, what ends up happening is there are people who are like, oh, it's a heart issue. And then there's people who are like, oh, well, don't ignore the fact that it's a command to be modest. And
right.
we're not calling for either. We're doing the thing.
Again, this is why we didn't want to talk about this on our show.
Right.
Because I said it's a heart issue multiple times and people are going to be like, so you're saying there's nothing that's objectively
right.
immodest? Of course, I think
right.
there's things that are objectively immodest.
Right.
But it doesn't matter for me to say it to you.
Right.
What you need is someone that you're in relationship with.
Yes.
Someone that you're in accountability with. And you ask them that question. You say, is this immodest?
Right.
You say, I don't know. I've had some weird thoughts about this
right.
shirt or whatever. What do you think?
Right.
It's not my place to tell you if you're being modest or not. This is a podcast. There's nothing visual even about this. Like, this is just not, I know people want to hear, I'm flattered that people want to hear our opinion on it.
Right.
But that's my opinion, which is that I have overarching opinions, mm-hmm. About modesty that I get from scripture and personal conviction.
Right.
But I don't know you. Right. So I can't instruct you on modesty.
I can't. And sir that sent us that picture, that dress was really cute.
It was. Yeah, honestly.
And it was floor length, just so you listeners know. This is a floor length dress.
Well, and even just like, I mean, it's just so, even just situationally, this thing that was sent to us.
Right.
It just has to be handled within
the church.
The church.
Within your relationship.
Because it involves a man looking at a woman in a way that's not acceptable. And I personally don't think the dress was immodest, but if it, in a different situation, if the dress was immodest, it would involve modesty. So it involved lust and modesty and it's just not too many something
we
like
can't, we can't answer this for you, really.
Right.
So anyway, okay, that's that. Hopefully we can never ever try to address modesty again, please. Now you guys have our 10 cents. Just
we're going to get so many messages about all the things we just said.
Just be in a relationship with people at your church and don't ask us.
Right. Care about each other's modesty. Don't care. Like we already
don't care about winning the argument. Right.
We just told you our opinion on modesty and how we gather our opinion on modesty.
Yes.
Now go out there and handle it within your church. Yes. Please.
Rightly.
Yes.
All right, so actually the next question involves the church. This is one I normally mostly get from feminists because they think it's like a gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha question.
It's not.
If Joy and I don't believe that women should be pastors, why do we have a podcast? And I just want you to know the answer to the question is in the question.
Right.
This is a podcast.
Right.
We are not your pastors.
We're sitting at a table right now. We're not standing in front of a podium.
Nope.
In front of our sheep.
Right. That we pastor.
Right.
We do not have a flock that we shepherd and will answer to on the day of judgment.
Right.
We believe that women can discuss the Bible.
Right.
We don't believe that women are called to be pastors. There's not a single example of a woman pastor in all of Scripture, and all of the pastoral requirements are aimed at men. Mm-hmm. Women are told to be silent in the assembly, and we are. So
are the men in our assembly.
Right.
That's worth mentioning.
Except for the pastors.
Right.
So there's that. Why do we have the only part of that question worth answering? Why do we have a podcast?
Right.
We have a podcast because we enjoy ministry and we enjoy talking about Christian worldview. We enjoy
and we're allowed to
out.
Talk about those things.
We are allowed to talk about those things. We are not your pastors. If you ever message theologians, you'll get an auto response that says, "Hey, if you're asking us about a question regarding sin,
personal please, accountability,
anything like that,
all that stuff,
please direct it to your church elders. We are not your pastors."
Right. We're very unwavering on that.
Yes.
Because we go to a great church.
Yes.
That offers a lot of fellowship and accountability and in many ways does things right.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you think us spoiled or not,
I get told that I'm spoiled all the time.
Yeah, and we are. We belong to a great Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church.
James White totally writes you happy birthday messages.
Right.
Which is like, what is your
nobody
life,
else did that.
Joy?
But yeah, so we believe with our personal stuff, too. We won't be messaging you our personal stuff because we'll handle it within...
Yeah.
Our church.
Absolutely.
That's just how accountability can only happen when you know the person.
Yes.
It doesn't.
I can't answer whether or not you're being inappropriate. I mean, we just get a lot of questions like, this is what I did in this situation. Do you think it's okay? And there are times that I will answer that question. And there are times that I won't, because there are issues that honestly just don't belong to anyone outside of the elders of your church and the authority right. that you're putting yourself under.
Right.
If you're not putting yourself under the authority of elders, I mean, no wonder you feel like you have to go to a stranger.
Right.
Well,
and I just, like, in terms of matters of personal accountability, I would ask you very humbly, I've done this before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Consider who you go to for accountability as a representation of how accountable you'd like to be.
Yes.
If you go to a stranger that lives potentially hundreds of miles away from you, that doesn't know you, that doesn't know your daily life, that doesn't have any way to look at you, that you can message whenever you please, you can message as much or as little as you like.
Who possibly can't hear both sides of a story.
Right. So just consider that what that could mean is that you don't actually want accountability on that topic.
Right.
And if you haven't considered it like that,
right.
just consider that the best way to get accountability is someone that you can see often, that yes. you can communicate with often,
yes.
that knows you, that sees you serve, that sees your life. That is the best way. And anything from that point on may indicate how much accountability you actually want.
Right. Absolutely agreed. Yes. And I hope you guys, listen, we do not want you to hear this episode and think, don't message us if you have a question
right.
or whatever. We just really want to support the idea that there is proper authority and headship in your life and that we are not it.
Right.
If you want to know questions about our denomination or our church or what we believe about head covering, it doesn't bother us if you message us and ask at all.
Right.
But if this is like a personal issue, if it's a sin issue, if it's something that should be dealt with in the church, go to your church, because we're not going right. to answer those questions.
Right. If you feel free to message us.
Right.
Whatever you want is what we're saying. But right. if you get our autoresponder that says, please make sure you take care of any personal issues within your church body, your elders, all that, and you don't ever receive anything else.
That was our response.
Right. That's our autoresponder is not just there so that we have great response times in our stats.
Right.
It's so that when those issues do come up, we can just say
mm-hmm.
what we want to say,
right.
which is that if you have a personal sin issue, you should go to your pastors.
Yes.
So that is, yeah.
That's it.
That's our response.
We are not your pastors.
And sometimes we just, it takes us some time to respond to things.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten a response, but you're like, oh, I just asked you what your favorite flower was. That's not what we meant. Just like use your common sense on that. Like, I don't know. Just.
Okay. So the fifth question we get before we both have a funny story about our respective parents. We get this question, and it's not normally phrased as a question. It's normally phrased as an insult, which is why I would like to respond right. to it here, is why do you guys laugh so much?
Okay. Well, so when we first started Sheologians, we wanted it to appear fun and funny. So what we did is our producer had us come in and record a variety of laughs that he would put in during post. So most of the time when you hear us laughing, it's not actually us laughing. It's just something that went in after to make it seem like we were having a really good time.
Because we're totally not having a good time.
No.
At all. This is work.
Obviously, I'm joking, guys. When you hear us laugh, it's because we're laughing in real time as we record this.
Because we have a good time talking to each other. And I don't know if you're like the kind of Christian that's not into things that are funny or being joyful, then right. this isn't the show for you.
Right. People can be, we can be funny. We can be even a little bit biting at times.
Mm.
There's a place for that.
There is a place for it.
And if your only problem or your main problem with us is that we're having a good time and laughing, then
I can't help you.
My name's Joy.
Your name is Joy,
which means happiness.
My name's Summer,
right?
Which means
sunshine and like
bunnies and fields dancing.
So, I don't know what to tell you. You saw our logo,
right? Like,
it's,
what
has all the colors in it?
What about this surprised you? Honestly,
it shouldn't be. Honestly, if you have a problem with us having fun and laughing, like, I feel bad. I feel bad for you. And I hope that you, I don't mean that in a biting way. That's not biting. If the only thing you can throw at me is that we laugh too much and you don't take us seriously, I'm okay with that. And I would suggest you
lighten up.
I hope that you find something fun
in your life. And enjoy.
Or maybe if you already have it, maybe just consider that you're kind of just picking on us, which I don't really care about.
Right.
But that's take that as you will.
Christians should be the most joyful people on the face of the earth.
Right.
And so often we are not guilty of that at all. And so we're not trying to make another. There's 1.5 million serious Christian podcasts that are dry as a bone that you can go listen to. And if that's your thing, great.
Right.
Bye. I don't know. Go enjoy your podcast and learn something.
Right.
We hope that people, a lot of women will say, it just lightened my day. It lightened the times that I had to do laundry or share my sheep in New Zealand, which has actually happened, by the way.
That's amazing.
So that makes me happy, which is why I'm going to continue doing my podcast that is both, it's like serious and not serious.
And essentially by asking us to laugh less, you're asking us to not enjoy our friendship, which I'm sorry. I just don't believe for a second that there's a person out there that doesn't have one friendship that they enjoy and laugh with.
No.
So
I just, whatever. We're not going to stop laughing, but you can stop listening.
Right.
Okay. So now I'm going to tell you something funny. So, Joy told me this story. I'm going to let Joy tell it because it cracked me up because it happened, I think, on the same day that the very same thing happened to me. So tell us about this, Joy.
Well, so if you guys remember, we did two episodes with Dr. James White, Summer's father.
Yes.
And
and Joy's Facebook friend, Dr. James White.
Yes. The topic of the incredible Mr. Limpet was brought up.
Right.
And I don't even entirely remember this, but I guess I said something to the effect of, oh, I have never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to let you guys know that my mom listened. She's recently been catching up. She hasn't been
She's keeping catching up.
But she's, she's listening to them when she walks, when she does her little power walk in the morning.
Mom.
And I get this voicemail from her.
She called you and left a voicemail.
She called me and left me a voicemail and was like, Joy Lynn. I don't think she is my middle name, but
You heard it.
Right, yeah. She was upset and she was like, you have absolutely seen The Incredible Mr. Limpet. She was like, I showed that to you. She's like, you don't remember it? She's asking me all these questions through a voicemail that I can't even respond. She's just blowing off steam at this point. And she's like, you have absolutely seen it. Okay, I love you. Call me back. Bye.
Okay, so the same day that Joy's mom calls her up to correct something she said on the show, my dad and we're sitting at dinner and he was like, excuse me, I listened to your show with Cy. And I absolutely did tell you it was called presuppositional apologetics. You said you didn't know. And I know that you know. I definitely told you. And I was like, Dad, listen. Shh, calm down.
It's okay.
It's okay. No, you didn't. Like, no. I mean, I'm sure there. But the point of the story when I told Cy that was that I was raised with a presuppositional apologetic. That was the apologetic I knew before I even knew its name.
Right.
That was the point, Father. But I just really got a kick out of the fact that, like, on the same day, both of our parents were like, I was listening to your show and...
Right. And I need to correct. You need to redact this.
Here is how I did not fail as a parent.
Right.
And you're trying to tell people I was failing.
So here we are. We're correcting. We do not in any way want to...
misrepresent our wonderful parents.
Our parents.
Right.
They worked hard to disciple us.
Right.
And they did not fail in those two aspects. You absolutely knew it was called Precept Apologetics, and I absolutely did see The Incredible Mr. Olympus.
Absolutely. So
sorry, guys.
If we've ever had
to correct
anything.
We just want to get our facts right.
Thanks, Joy's mom and my dad. All right, so we're going to close out our show now, but I was, something happened to me the other day. This sound came on, and there's this sound that just makes me incredibly happy. Like, the second I hear it, like, my entire, like, just everything within me is, like, sunshine and rainbows. And so I thought, oh, I wonder what Joy's is. Like, I wonder, like, what sound is there, whether it's, I don't know, a noise or a song or whatever. Like, what is it that when Joy hears it, she's just, like, immediately in the best mood ever? So I don't know what hers is, and she doesn't know what mine is. We're just going to play them real fast, and I'm really excited to hear Joy's and which one of us should go first.
I can go first if you want.
Okay. So do you guys understand the point of this game? Was I clear about that?
Right. Imagine a sound or noise that you hear.
That just makes you
so happy.
And just
instantly makes you happy.
Yes.
There's like an association there.
Yes.
However it was made.
Yes. I'm so
excited.
That's
just the greatest.
Okay. Okay, Joy. I'm ready.
Once you hear mine, you're going to be like, well, duh.
Okay. Okay. Wait, hold on. Let me hear one more. Is it a baby goat?
It's a sloth.
Okay, it's a sloth. It's
really
a baby
any
animal.
Baby animal noises, most animal noises, cows mooing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It just makes me really happy, especially if there's...
I knew that.
Like a visual of an animal. And you guys all
knew. I know.
But
do you know
you
mine?
Don't really know, understand. Like, people are like, oh, she likes animals.
No.
And I'm like, no. Like, they make me...
joyful.
Yeah.
Like, they make her joyful.
You really do. Okay. I don't know what yours is at all.
Oh, I totally was like, I know exactly what Joy's going to play. But I didn't want to say it because then if I was wrong, I'd look like a total jerk. So this is the sound. I did. It just like it came on the other day and I was just like, I was in a bad mood and I had a headache. And all of a sudden it was like the sun came out and I was just like super happy. And this is it for me. I hope this isn't too loud.
Oh, it's absolutely true.
Like when the cowbell comes in?
Right.
Like, is there anything happier?
Does it? Right. No.
No.
It just makes you want to dance. When I drive with that song playing, I feel like I'm about to be stuck in a traffic jam and we're all going to start dancing outside of our cars.
I know. And I wouldn't even be mad about it.
No.
Like, it seriously turned my day around. Right. Like, it changed everything. And I was just like, this is the happiest sound to me at this juncture in my life.
Right.
I feel like I could survive anything.
Yeah. It's empowering. It's an empowering song for sure.
It is.
But in a very theatrical dancing way.
Right. Which is the only way I want empowerment.
I mean, let's face it. When you listen to this song, anyone who listens to this song immediately feels like they're a trained singer and dancer in a play.
I'm in the cutest yellow dress.
Right.
The most modest yellow dress of all time. And I have talents that I don't really have.
Right. Inspiring.
Right. Right. All right, guys. So, hey, we're really close to our Patreon goal, but not really. We're 2/3 of the way there. So if you guys were 2/3 of the way there, and I hope you take me very seriously when I say we have to meet this goal or we'll just die. I mean, not physically, but our hilarious show. So where we laugh too much and don't give you real answers.
Right.
So
maybe some of you are like, thank goodness.
Right. And to you, I say good day, sir.
Right. So
Joy's about to break this down.
So, here's what we have. If 626 of you
Give
$2 a month. $2.
Uh-huh.
That's nothing.
It's not.
Think about the last thing you paid $2 for.
None.
One apple. 8 bananas.
Right. Right.
Simple. Easy.
Yep. $2. We would hit our goal. Yep.
626. That's really not even that many people, considering the shares we get and the downloads we get.
Yeah.
People that like our page.
Yeah.
The point is we can totally do this.
We can.
626 people giving $2. Obviously, if you wanted to give more, then we hit our goal faster.
Yes.
But we just like to spread the wealth to 226 people. All right. If 313 of you give $4 a month, that's
like
less than 500 people.
That's doable.
$4. That's what? 2 apples?
Right.
16 bananas? I don't know. I eat a lot of apples and bananas. Anyway.
Right.
What I'm saying is that we very much appreciate the people who partner with us through Patreon.
Yes.
And we are almost to our goal.
Yes.
And we'd love to hit our goal.
We would.
And we need to hit our goal.
Yes, we do.
So we appreciate those of you that are already Patreoning. And we appreciate those of you that will begin Patreoning soon.
Yes, please do. And just know there are a lot of secular podcasts and media people that do really, really well on Patreon. And
right.
I think Christians need to take that over.
Right.
And take a little dominion there.
Absolutely.
That's my 10 cents. So anyway, guys, we will see you next week.
Yes. As far as I know. I think that is the point of our weekly podcast, right?
Why did I say it like a question? Okay. See you next week.
Bye.